How do we continue faithfully to confess and practice our Lutheran faith in a culture of secularism, pluralism, and relativism? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November is the 2017 edition of Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation, 2017 edition. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Friday afternoon, we are broadcasting from the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference at Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas. We're joined here by the senior pastor at Memorial Lutheran Church, who is very kindly, along with his congregation, agreed to act as our host for these 2 days of the conference and as a guest here in our live broadcast that kicks off the conference. We're going to talk about a Lutheran approach to the church fathers. What makes a church father? I mean, how do you qualify for that august group? Do you have to die first, or do we have living church fathers among us today? How do Lutherans view the fathers as opposed to, say, the Orthodox, who take them very seriously? Or the Roman Catholics, who also take them very seriously, or the vast majority of American Protestantism that, well, don't know who their fathers in the faith really are. Dr. Scott Murray is senior pastor at Memorial Lutheran Church here in Houston, Texas, second vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of the books Law, Life, and the Living God, a must-read, by the way, and A Year with the Church Fathers, and a forthcoming publication ominously titled The Gates of Hell. Dr. Murray, welcome back to Issues Etc.
It's a pleasure to be with you again, Todd. It's a bit odd sitting right here. This is a perspective I don't very often get because I'm always standing up here.
Well, you're...
And I don't get cheered either. this is weird.
This is the thing of kind of crazy fever dreams, isn't it?
Yeah.
A lot of people will simply look at the history of the church in a very simple way. You had Jesus and the apostles, and that kind of was good while it lasted. And then with the death of the last apostle, the church more or less just went dormant, kind of into a pupa stage, and didn't flower again, didn't come out of that pupa or that chrysalis until Martin Luther. How would you correct that view?
Well, I mean, first of all, you just have to say that Luther is himself beholden to the church fathers. I'm amazed by the number of times as you read Dr. Luther that you can hear him repeating in a form somebody like Augustine, for example. I mean, he's an Augustinian friar. I've been shocked by the number of times that, you know, I've been reading Augustine and then I look at Luther and go, wow, Luther obviously stole this. I mean, they didn't have copyrights back in those days. And so Luther is freely swiping from the church fathers, whether it's Hilary or Augustine or whomever. Now, of course, he does have some negative views about the church fathers, but he's very fond, of course, of Augustine.
Where do you think this idea came, that there was this ellipsis in the church's life that's represented in a large part, if you look at the actual history, right, that is populated by these men and some women who are not only saints in our remembrance, but actually have something to teach us today?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it just comes in part from our historical ignorance. We tend to know what happened during our lifetime. And we're cut off from the past, and that's kind of a cultural problem for Americans generally. You know, we think that the church sort of dropped out of heaven at the time of our baptism, and of course nothing could be farther from the truth. I think too that where you have reform movements like Luther's, the view is that Luther saves us from this abysmal time of spiritual darkness in which nothing truthful was said or done from the time of St. Paul, you know, until Luther nails the 95 Theses to the castle church door. You know, we've got to get over that. Don't misunderstand me. I think Luther does a wonderful job, of course, of bringing to light the doctrine of justification. So when I was a seminary student, one of the things that was said to us as students was that, you know, there was this almost immediate loss of the doctrine of justification in the church fathers. And so we discounted them. We didn't read them very carefully as students. We were busy reading other things, I think. And then as a parish pastor, what happened was I started to read the ancient fathers and was shocked at, of course, their Christological clarity. They're very clear on who Christ is and what he did. And then also there are places where they're extremely clear about the doctrine of justification by faith and the uselessness of righteousness by works. And so I was a bit flabbergasted by this as I read the Church Fathers on an almost daily basis to produce the memorial moment.
So what makes a church father? Do you have to be dead? Do we have church fathers among us, living among us now?
Yeah, I mean, I think we do, certainly. I mean, we can think back to the professors who meant a great deal to us. I think, of course, of Dr. David Scare, who is still, they say he's still alive.
Yes, rumor has it.
Yeah, right. Still a going concern. I think back to the number of things that Dr. Scare drummed into my head as a student. Now, some of it I tend not to repeat in front of lay people, but still very important. Professor Kurt Marquardt is definitely a father. When he passed away, a dear colleague of mine, Charles Wokuma, Pastor Charles Wokuma, who's a missionary in Nigeria now, he simply came into my office and sat down and said, our father has gone. And of course, also Robert Preuss. Dr. Robert Preuss was a great mentor and a great teacher. And there are many times when I think back to the fabulous things that he taught in his courses. You can say those things in front of lay people because he always had a good sense for what was good in the church as well.
It sounds like what you're tying together there is not only men who faithfully teach and taught, but in the case of all three of those, I'll have to say, in the case of Kurt Marquardt and Dr. Scare and Robert Preuss, these were men, I'll just use the word, they're prescient in what they wrote for the church. They weren't writing just for their time, but what they have written for the church, they could have just as well written yesterday.
Correct.
For the church, even though they're writing more recently. Is the same true of the ancient church fathers, men who may not consciously do it, but write for posterity and leave us things that are always useful?
Right, exactly so. I mean, and this is why, as you read it, you know, I produce this week daily devotion, oftentimes based on readings in the church fathers. And you read it and you go, oh, somebody has to see this besides me, you know. And so I share it in this week daily devotion that goes out by email. So you're often struck by the timeliness. The fact is, Satan is a dull fellow. He's not very bright. And so he's always using the same arguments over and over again. Well, what does that mean? It means that the church fathers have responded beautifully to these things in their day. There's nothing new under the sun. And so we're delighted by these useful, faithful things that are shared by reading, you know, the ancient church fathers.
The Luther Confessions, if someone takes the time to read them, it becomes very quickly apparent that these documents are full of the church fathers. Positive references largely, some negative references, but largely positive references. It could be very surprising to someone who is unfamiliar with that part of our roots.
Well, and what you have to remember is that the systematic study of the ancient church fathers really derives primarily from Chemnitz. He becomes really the father of patrology, if you'll excuse the pun. He systematically reads the church fathers and then, of course, applies them against the Roman Catholic misunderstanding of the ancient fathers that often comes, for example, in the canons and decrees of the Council of Trent. So as you read Chemnitz's examination of the Council of Trent, you find the church fathers quoted extensively and properly interpreted and understood in their proper context and so on for the readers of the examination of the Council of Trent. Now, of course, this is also important in our Lutheran confessions because the Roman Catholics were often saying the Lutherans are wrong because they contradict the fathers. And the Lutherans came along and said, well, let's actually look at what the fathers really said and let's apply it to what the Roman Catholics think the fathers said. And so you end up with these very salutary quotations from the ancient church fathers in our Lutheran confessions. And we still quote some of these today, like Augustine, you know, the abuse does not destroy the use. So someone can pervert a practice of the church, but that doesn't mean the practice of the church is itself bad.
We're talking with Dr. Scott Murray, senior pastor at Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, and our host at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference here in Houston, second vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, author of the books Law, Life, and the Living God, A Year with the Church Fathers, and a forthcoming publication, The Gates of Hell. When we come back, we're going to talk about that Christological clarity in the Church Fathers.
Come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one's study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to you know help them to get a sense of, A, you know, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then B, is this the right place? And well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu.
This holiday shopping season, skip the Fruit of the Month Club. Don't fall for any ridiculous as-seen-on-TV offers. Just say no to ugly sweaters. Instead, give your family and friends the best of Lutheran reflection on faith and life, theology and culture, delivered monthly right to their mailboxes. Give them the Lutheran Witness magazine. Visit cph.org/witness to purchase subscriptions for Christmas or anytime. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Do you long for a church that celebrates the divine service with reverence and joy, but without the unbiblical baggage imposed by a supposedly infallible hierarchy? Do you long for a church that confesses a divinely instituted office of the holy ministry for the giving of the Lord's gifts to his people, and yet values and lifts high the priesthood of all believers? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We're what you've been looking for. Find an historic, authentic church near you on the Find a Church page at issuesetc.org.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc. and you.
The Welcome back to Issues Etc. On this Friday afternoon, we're coming to you live from the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference at Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, talking about a Lutheran approach to the Church Fathers with Dr. Scott Murray, senior pastor here at Memorial, second vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, author of numerous books, including A Year with the Church Fathers. You can find out more about this book at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand or call Concordia Publishing House and ask for A Year with the Church Fathers by Dr. Scott Murray, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Let's go to our audience for some questions. What's your question?
Hi, I'm Jim Tallman from Austin. Pastor Murray, maybe you do this in your devotional anyway. If so, I'm sorry, but I was kind of curious if you had a top 10 favorite list of treatises from maybe Irenaeus to the Reformation fathers.
Right.
And Jim, thanks for being on the show recently. Nice to see you.
I loved it. Thank you.
Hey, Jim. That's a great question. I don't really have a top 10 list. I have a top one. I enjoy Hilary's De Trinitate, Hilary of Poitiers. It is flabbergasting, clear, well-written, far-ranging, the Latin quite challenging, but powerful stuff. I mean, Luther says, this is kind of funny, Luther says that Chrysostom is a gossip. And he says this because Chrysostom often spends time in his sermons, his beautiful golden mouth sermons, complaining about the sumptuous clothing of the empress. And this is, I think, why Luther complains about Chrysostom being just a gossip. But if you can sort of skim through, I've gotten good at skimming the fathers too, by the way. You just skim through till you start to see the meaty stuff. And so the sermons of Chrysostom I find really helpful. The City of God by Augustine. And there, I mean, I've just given you a lifetime of reading, really. you know, because Augustine's City of God is very long, and of course there's a plethora of sermons by Mr. Goldenmouth, and of course then again Hilary. But I mean, we could go on and on. You know, Augustine's sermons are fabulous. At one point, I point this out to my members every once in a while. At one point, Augustine, of course, is sitting to preach, kind of like we're doing here. And you're all standing. And at some point, the crowd starts to cheer and clap. And he berates them. This is actually in the sermon transcript that we have. He berates them and says, do not bring the entertainment world into the church. It does not belong here. Oh, well said, Augustine. Well said.
Timely, too.
Yeah.
What's your question?
Kurt Rowland, St. Louis, Missouri. Dr. Murray, I'm wondering if you might comment on the ancient church fathers and perhaps even Luther's use and or misuse of allegory in their writing and in their preaching.
That's a great question.
Maybe I could tell you an allegory to answer your question. Yeah, I mean, obviously, you can run into a lot of trouble with the folks who are called the originists, right? People who are following Origen by trying to nice up, especially Old Testament texts that where there are bloody things happening. You know, it doesn't seem right that God says, okay, go ahead and wipe out all these people. So Origen comes up with these elaborate allegories so that God's actually a lot more spiritual than he is in the Old Testament. And of course, the idea here is that you're getting sort of behind the text. What are you doing? You're climbing the ladder into heaven, and you're using a can opener on God's head and flipping up the top and getting in there and going, oh, now I know what he really meant. So I think, again, that we have to be very clear about the fact that we're making a first commandment error when we start to allegorize the Word of God. Now, with that said, of course, obviously the Bible has allegories in it. Those are self-identified. We're okay with that. But you have to be very careful as you look, especially at Old Testament texts, that you aren't sort of missing the point by allegorizing. That's a short answer to a really big question. Thank you for that, though.
And what's your question?
Hi, Elise Lassley out of Houston.
Member of Memorial Lutheran Church, I might add.
Hi, Pastor.
you've been waiting a long time to ask this question, haven't you?
So the East and the West aren't 100% on the same page with who church fathers are, who saints are, et cetera, et cetera. From a Lutheran standpoint, when we go to look at who we want to read and who we don't want to read, is there anybody that you specifically would avoid?
That's a great question.
No. But as Pastor Gies said just a few minutes ago, we're always reading with the small catechism in hand, huh? So there are times when you read the ancient church fathers, whether East or West, and you go, now wait a minute, that's headed in the wrong direction entirely. Remember, in the Lutheran Reformation, everyone and everything is subject to the Word of God. That includes Augustine. That includes Hilary. That includes Chrysostom. That includes me. That includes, well, it even includes you.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh.
So Lutherans don't give anybody the clear pass. All men are liars. That includes the church fathers. That includes me. And that's why we always have to be subject to the prophets, and we have to just simply stretch out our arms and get nailed up there and let God be God, and confess our own errors and sins, but also not be taken in by the misunderstandings of the fathers. Now, let me say the flip side to this, Elise. This is a great question. The flip side to this is that I enjoy the church fathers because they're not coming out of our context. This is delightful. So they're not cornered by sort of modernistic or postmodernistic presuppositions. And so they often say things in the literature where you go, I would never have thought of this. How brilliant this is, how helpful, how Christ-centered, without being cornered by our culture and its nonsenses. So I find this helpful. The other thing is, and I especially appreciate Chrysostom for this reason, Chrysostom is still speaking the Greek of the New Testament on a day-to-day basis. And he's getting up and preaching in it, right? This is Koine. Of course, it's got, there's water under the dam, okay, or over the dam. I get that. But when he says this is what it means, a particular text, you can have pretty good certainty that he's not messed up about the meaning of the Greek words. So there's lots of benefits there. Again, Chrysostom, like anybody else, can be wrong. But you appreciate their perspective because they're not going back to Bauer Arndt Gingrich to find out what the words mean. The words are here for them. And so it's really helpful listening to Chrysostom's sermons.
I was introduced to this quote by Pastor Will Wheaton several times. He tends to repeat himself. And
don't we all?
from G.K. Chesterton, his fantastic work, Orthodoxy, where Chesterton writes, tradition means giving a vote to the most obscure of all classes, our ancestors. It is the democracy of the dead. Tradition refuses to submit to the small and arrogant oligarchy of those who merely happen to be walking about. All Democrats object to men being disqualified by accident of birth. Tradition objects to their being disqualified by accident of death. What is Chesterton saying there about the church fathers for us?
Well, I mean, on the most basic level, and this is a matter of pastoral care, when my members die, they're still my members. They just happen to have been translated into the heavenly kingdom. And that's why, as we gather around this altar and cry, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God of Sabaoth, we're also thinking about the blessed dead who, by way of death aren't gone. They're just not seen anymore. A bit like, you know, the ascension. Now, this is especially the case, again, of the great fathers of the church. Their words live on, and we're grateful for this. And by the way, I would commend especially Dean Wenthe, the past president of Concordia Theological Seminary, who, among other things, encouraged me to write. Why? Because when you're long dead and gone, those books will still be floating around out there on the internet, if the internet still exists. But the ancient church fathers, you know, took notes. They had notes taken. People took verbatim notes and kept this. Augustine had all these notes, and his students made sure that when the world started to come apart in 430, 431 after Augustine's death, that they managed to secrete them someplace and spread them around in libraries all over Europe, and all of a sudden everybody knows Augustine. I don't think he was as famous in his own lifetime as he is now. He was a bishop of a one-horse town in North Africa, literally hippo, you know, horse. But you know, his students made sure that his words lived on by way of these notes. Now, I mean, I don't think any of my parishioners are taking notes, and maybe that's a good thing. But your books, I mean, so if you're thinking out there, if you're clergy or if you're a lay person who's adept with words, get at it, write a book, because those words will live on.
Pastor Scott Murray is our guest. We'll have a few more minutes with him on the other side of the break to round off our live broadcast, kicking off the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference at Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas. He's senior pastor here at Memorial and author of the book, A Year with the Church Fathers. We'll be right back.
Orphan Grain Train is the Lutheran Federal Credit Union Ministry of the Month. During November, if you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or if you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to Orphan Grain Train. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Good for you. Good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Children are a heritage from the Lord, but what of those who've not been given the gift of a child? The cross of barrenness affects not only childless couples, it affects the family, friends, and pastors who love and care for them. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm partnering with Emmanuel Press to publish the second edition of my book, He Remembers the Barren, a story about the hope and contentment found only in Christ, no matter the cross we bear. Visit emmanuelpress.us to learn more. emmanuelpress.us.
We don't know anything about this formerly blind and mute man.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
What we do know is what Jesus did for him. And what Jesus did for that man, he is doing now for you.
Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Go Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're broadcasting from Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, kicking off the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference here in Houston. Dr. Scott Murray is our guest. Dr. Murray, I think one thing has emerged here, and that is someone listening to your description of why it is you love the Church Fathers and why it is you believe that Lutherans have this approach to the Church Fathers that may not be found elsewhere in Christendom. They might be inspired to read them. The church has cut itself off from this. That's the first thing you said here. Yeah, we've had this collective amnesia. What is the church, especially so many in the American church today, what are we missing by not listening to our fathers in the faith?
Well, I mean, this is part, of course, of the historical ignorance generally of Westerners. If we want to relegate something to an ash heap, we relegate it to the ash heap of history, right? Whereas Lutherans don't think of history as an ash heap, but as a place in which faithful people confessed, in some cases to the point of death, for the sake of the truth. So some of these people that we quote and you know respect, you know, the folks who were confessing before Constantine, 313, you know, are confessing to death. That gives some weight to what they say. So that's part of it. I would also say that, again, we are captives of our own time. We're modernists or postmodernists. And so it can be really refreshing and exciting to see what someone said who wasn't infected by the same philosophical presuppositions that we ourselves suffer from. So, you know, I mean, this is why I find it so enjoyable to read the ancient fathers, because you have this experience every once in a while where you go, I wouldn't ever have thought of what this guy just said and wrote or preached. It's unique to me because I come at it with a different set of presuppositions.
With about 30 seconds, you said off mic that the church is the world's greatest or perhaps worst plagiarist. What did you mean by that?
Yeah. Well, again, as I said earlier on, Luther is quite glad to steal from Augustine. The point here is that I'm a dwarf standing on the shoulders of giants. And the older I get, the shorter I feel. And yet, I get to share with God's people, of course, Jesus and St. Paul, but Irenaeus, Augustine, Luther, you know, Chemnitz, Getreus. I mean, the list goes on. And then, of course, the fathers of our lifetime, whom we've already mentioned. So suddenly our stature becomes much greater. Not because of ourselves. This is a Christian way, of course, you know, by grace. Our stature becomes much greater as we stand on the shoulders of our ancient fathers, the people who often suffered death for the sake of the truth.
Dr. Scott Murray is senior pastor at Memorial Lutheran Church. He is second vice president of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, author of the books Law, Life, and the Living God, A Year with the Church Fathers, and a forthcoming publication, The Gates of Hell. Dr. Murray, thank you very much for being our guest.
It's a pleasure.
You can still attend the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference today and tomorrow at Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas. Just as we end this broadcast after dinner at 6:30, we're going to be hearing the case for religious liberty from both Mark and Molly Hemingway. We'll be hearing the case for Christian marriage from the aforementioned Dr. Scott Murray. Tomorrow morning, we're going to be hearing the case for the Benedict option from the author of the book of the same name, Rod Dreher. Mark and Molly will be back with us to talk about making the case for engaging the news media, and you'll hear the case for Jesus for You, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller of Table Talk Radio. We're going to round it off with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris making the case against the sexual revolution and a roundtable tomorrow afternoon. And then we'll have a divine service at 5:30. I will be preaching for that service. That's the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference coming up both tonight and tomorrow here in Houston, Texas. Feel free to join us here at Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston. What are we doing next, Jeff? Oh, we're going to have dinner, aren't we? Everybody's got to organize themselves. I can hear their stomachs growling already. Dr. Murray, thank you again for being our guest, and thank you so much for your church being our host for Issues Etc., the Making the Case conference. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening. Good night from Houston.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority, they've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper every service every Sunday, preaching Christ crucified and risen, our hope for years to come. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is. 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri. Find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.